20 times I've tried to tell you, 20 times I've cried alone. Always I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone. Don't wanna leave you really, just wanna break the ice. Do I look silly to you when I yield to your advice? When you say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound of the words we both fall in under. Whatever we deny or embrace, for worse or for better, we belong together. Es seguro que es verdad. El cariño que es sincero no se acaba con crueldad. Olvida lo que fuimos y desprecias lo más bien. Pero juntitos prendimos que la luna era de miel. Junto a ti solo es mi ángel. Brotado el cielo. No importa por venir sin sufrir, es mi triste destino. Junto a ti hasta el fin de camino. Close your eyes and try to sleep now. Close your eyes and try to dream. Clear your mind and do your best to try and wash the palate clean. We can't begin to know now how much we really care. But I hear your voice inside me and I see your face everywhere. Now I say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound. We both fall in under. Whatever we deny or embrace, the worse or the better, we belong together. Junto a ti solo es mi ángel. Junto a ti como radio de luz que ha brotado. No importa por venir si sufrir, es mi triste destino. Junto a ti hasta el fin de camino.
And we belong. And that was, of course, Denise Vasquez. And keeping with her album, Frame of Mind, which I believe you can check that out at CD Baby or contact her at Denise Vasquez on her MySpace account. I will definitely be having a whole lot of music in the near future. Or a whole lot, and that sounds a little bit pretty weird, but I will have a wide spectrum of music. And of course, this is Andrew Fetter, When Pigs Fly. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm sorry for my throat. According to the last 2 weeks, I've been having a little issue with a cold, and I hope I don't get any shoes thrown at me today. As far as speaking of shoes, somebody was sent me an email and said, hey, I should change my show and call it, instead of When Pigs Fly, call it When Shoes Fly, because I'm always throwing shoes at different areas and different aspects. First, I want to wish everybody out there happy holidays, and whatever your belief system is, and what you portray or believe in, I wish you all a very peaceful holiday. And, you know, speaking of peaceful, I don't know why they just limited that to this time of year. It should be a peacefulness approach throughout all the year, in fact, all the time. And when y'all get a chance, please do check out my website, theandrewtheheretic.com, The Heretic, my newly released book. And if you got any questions regarding that or anything else, of course, you can always contact me. And also, before I forget, I've been starting updating my posting into my blog site at www.andrew.myufo.com, in which I want to thank Lewis Martin for presenting that again and keeping that up. And also, do definitely check out his site. Of course, his is myufo.com. And he has an interesting sideshow, which is called his UFO Theater, which you got some really unique shows and tapings and film raw. And I know you'll love checking that stuff out at your spare time. And also, while you're at, if you would like, please do check out my past shows, including ones typically about free energy, for example, or out of body regression, thoughts or things, or even about the inner workings of what the real Kabbalah is. Do contact me again at flyingpigs.artlover.com or MySpace Andrew Fetter. If you have a MySpace account, if you got any questions, comments, just whatever, send it over to me. I, in due time, always answer whatever comments, questions that you do have. And speaking of today's show, I have a very special guest, and this show will definitely be an eye-opener, or perhaps more correctly, a mind-opener. I'm sure y'all have heard of I think it was a movie called What the Bleep Do We Know, which is sort of old science. Even though it was done, just released, I think it was like 2 years ago, it was like 10, 15-year-old old science. Science has perhaps more than ever exposed the real realm or the reality as we perceive it, which my guest will elaborate. And some of you will be surprised and others will not. So, free your mind, open your heart, because today's show will definitely, ultimately, expose the illusions of fear, the methods of control, letting you be of sovereign mind. And with further ado, I welcome Sonia Barrett. How you doing, Sonia?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Andy. Love the name of your show, first of all.
Thank you.
I kind of prefer it over the flying shoe thing.
Well, I haven't started any war in Iraq yet, so. I know from my last few shows I've had possible fatwas or presented against me, but that's fine and dandy. I understand that you are a publisher of New Corporate Body magazine, and you also are a host here on BBS Radio, Sovereign Mind Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, which I want to talk to you about, is, which I just have read, you are author of the book called The Holographic Canvas.
Uh-huh.
Before I get into that, because it does get into the science and spirituality of things, from your background, you seem like you're into the entertainment world of music, and how did you get into science? It seems like almost opposite.
Well, I guess in one way it is, and in one way it's not opposite. I guess at the time anyway, however, I didn't realize that everything, is really a scientific process. It's some sort of mathematic process because you're dealing with energy. But I didn't know that at the time. I had no idea that I would venture down this road. I wanted to be a lot of things, a journalist. And it's funny because all those things is what I'm doing now in my life. I mean, I started out as a journalism major and a dance minor, and, then I changed my major to voice. So then I was very much into the arts, and I think the creativity of all of that, my creative abilities were just very strong. So I thought I was going to be a singer, in terms of my life or my career. But I did that for a very, very short time, and this, you know, life leads us down different, roads. Anyway, it led me down a path where it didn't unfold in that manner. However, my curiosity, about life remained there. And it's always been there. It's been there since, you know, since as far back as I can remember, as a child and growing up in the church. So it sort of, it evolved more so, after, which I always have to explain that, you know, just very briefly, after, a difficult divorce, a difficult marriage, a single mother with two children. And, I had just been through such a difficult time that I think I needed, I just needed to understand more about me. Purpose, just life in general, creation, the whole, sort of madness of it all. And, I also wanted to, I didn't want to hear what I, the depth of what I wanted to know from anybody, from another individual. And not from any books. Although, you know.
Sorry, it sounds like the universe just pulled you toward where you were supposed to be anyway.
Right. Which
like we always say, like I always term life as sort of, you have to live a life like a surfer, and instead of going against the wave, you caught the wave that you were supposed to be on instead of swimming against it.
Well, so, that's kind of, I guess, that's a good way to put it. I desired, and then that desire led me into down that path, and then it was, I became like a child in a candy store. You know, it took a little time for me to begin to trust what I was feeling, because I did desire to know from a very deep place, and that's what happened. It all started to unfold for me, and I always have to explain it. This is very different than channeling. We are all channels. It's just, it wasn't a channeling process through a third party, as most people are familiar with. You know, with, it was a sense of walking into a knowing and understanding that the information is encoded in everything, in me, in every, you know, every particle. And from that approach, that was how I wanted it to unfold, because I knew it was possible.
So it was like, so basically the concepts that, that you came about was basically I remember an old teacher of mine referred to it as a refreshing of the mind. You're actually just remembering what you already knew.
Absolutely, and that's what it is. It's, you know, I'm remembering, and you literally, you know, you're remembering yourself back together. But you are remembering, and it's just a part of us that, you know, has to be shut down. Those memories have to not be there, so that we can have the fullest experience of what it is to be a human being.
Yeah, there's actually something. There's a famous Kabbalistical saying, a little story that they say. Okay, when they say when you're out of your body, when you go through each bridge to each new lifetime, back and forth to each new lifetime, when you're out of your body before you come into a new body embodiment, being born, that is, that. You know everything. You understand all things. In fact, you already know your future and everything, all events, because they're already preset of karmic experiences laid before you. But as you go into your, as a baby, when the soul enters the body, an angel wakes you up, and on the top of your lip, you have that little mark. And that's sort of like, when you wake up, that's the veil that's put on you to block you off from, or basically the veil of knowing everything, because if you knew too much, everything before you, it would be like you wouldn't walk through the things that you're supposed to walk through.
Right.
But on the second thing there, we have lights that we have the ability to refresh ourselves of what we do know and what we already know. So.
Right. It is an awesome experience. Yes, yes, to recognize just how blocked, you know, from those memories we are. And, you know, and obviously it's all contingent, or it all depends on the individual's journey, which is basically what you're saying. you know, some will wake up to different levels of understanding, more expansive levels of understanding, according to what your particular mission or journey is in this time. So, and with that, yes, I think it's very interesting that, more so, I can't say necessarily just the New Age movement, but, a lot of people are under the understanding that, you know, everybody will sort of, you know, begin to just wake up at the same time, and it just wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't be possible because there's so many different things that we each have, as souls. That we're processing through. And that means those things would have to be completely discarded in order for everyone to suddenly step up to such a heightened vibration. So I think it happens in stages for, you know, for all of us, according to the right or lifetime, however we want to put it, in terms of what we understand to be past lives.
Now, getting to your book, and in fact, it was a pretty interesting guide, because as I was reading it, I started placing notes, and I usually put together, like, topics I want to talk about. But the problem was, you hit on so many topics within your book. I was like, hell, I would have to have a part two, part three, part four part of my thing. In fact, I have, like, I'm not exaggerating. I have like 20 topics, and I'm like, holy hell, I can keep, and I wasn't even finished. But I wanted to, because your book, definitely you could expand. I know another expansion of your book. That's, you have like, you touch certain things, and I know you're going to probably be, delving into each issue of the things. I mean, because in fact, in the beginning of your book, in the intro, you get into sort of your revolutionary thing about religion and governments and people who are trying to control us, which I thought was pretty interesting. And this is basically, if it's okay if I read this part for you, if it's okay.
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, it says, we have imprisoned ourselves, and this is, by the way, on page 8 if anybody has a book. We have imprisoned ourselves in the excitement of the experience, and we have created fantasies of numerous possibilities of what lies ahead. After encountering the inevitable force of death, we look to various religions to validate these fantasies while we continue to give our power away to any individual or organization willing to assume responsibility for the conservation of our soul. We peddle our freedom for the purchase of increments of time to the governing powers of our world, government, religion, and corporate world. The 24-hour time cycle, which represents an Earth Day, has been cleverly flavored, sliced, served back to us with the promise of a better life in the here, now, and afterlife. Humanity exists under a programming of subservience to those who have appointed themselves caretakers. Man is enslaved, imprisoned emotionally, spiritually, and physically by his brothers. Such manipulation has played in the dance for millions of years, which has created a downward spiral into increasing extremes in vibration. In other words, we have become more human, relying strongly on the physical world. We are out of alignment, which basically is the entire your whole book. I mean, in different ways, different
right.
forms.
Right.
Which, I mean, you touch into. I mean, even the sovereign mind, which is pretty interesting. You talk of having a free choice and a free mind, which, and separating yourselves, because most people are, they are aware of it. They're like, almost like pre-programmed to, whether, especially like, for example, religions. You talk to somebody who's, and I dealt with this in my last show I did, which was pretty, I guess blasphemous and to many in an event. But we're programmed into it, whether it's religions or cultural norms, and then we take them as validation for what we're supposed to be doing. And you can be the most intellectual person. I've met very smart people, or supposedly smart or educated, Yet when it's like in Bill Maher's Religious List, when you talk about religion, it's not even logically, it could happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, here's an example, which I think you dealt with in your thing, which is pretty fascinating. Now, in dogma and religion, there are origins, a lot of them, most of it deals with looking things in an infinite space. Even the Greeks did it. But then they personify God to relate to themselves, and then they look at things in a finite space. And what I like about what your book has done is you basically carried a, I don't even say quantum physics. You actually hit on areas of more like, I think, of general relativity, which Einstein had put into effect, of that our perception, the real perception of time and space is curved. And therefore,
right,
it's approximation of what we see and perceive, which then we relate to our perception is how we try to validate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already said that. An example of even the most very simplified things, you talk about like architectural and art and symbols, and we look at those and you show that to anybody, and right away they'll have a certain effect from their perception of that symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty fascinating. Like if you show somebody a cross, you know, to a Christian, you show a cross, he feels real comfortable. Show that to a Jew or a Muslim, they'll feel, whoa. You go to the South and to somebody, and I've dealt with this, people have, like I live in Las Vegas, and you know, I don't want to be sound bad, but some white, basically crackers have like their little Confederate flag on their back of their car.
Right.
And to somebody of color, like whether it's black or even somebody who's Jewish and sees a Confederate flag, they look at that as being very bigoted. And of course the atrocities that happen in America for some centuries is almost the same way as for a Jew looking at a swastika. But for these Southerners, it's like, huh, it's my Southern pride. So
right,
it seems like everybody has their own views.
Well, everybody has, it's all programming, really. It's so big. This is so huge. But human life, and I think that was a big focus of mine when I started to realize that and had to look at my own self and to start thinking about what it is that, which thoughts are really organic for me. What is, you know, what are all my thoughts attached to? And I think that's the fascinating part about this whole thing, is really recognizing the programming that us as human beings are really under from the moment you get here on the planet. It's one program administered, onto a next program based on specific ideas, on constructs by which reality operates. So you have a base set of programs. And then there is, I think, a name for it, actually. But there are a base set of programs by which all human beings sort of operate. And then those base programs break off into, all these other programs based on culture, based on, family concepts and ideas, which are typically going to be based to some degree on aspects of that culture. Then that culture could be the culture of that country, and then that breaks down even further into all these other segmented cultures, could be even within the very small town that you live in. You see what I'm saying? And then
mm-hmm.
If you go into education, and then there's that programming. So what you're getting is just sets and sets and sets of programs. And the biggest one, I think, in the end, becomes the what we can define as now the social codes and social programs by which you will evaluate or society will evaluate you as a human being, and that breaks down to your financial status, your educational status,
right,
career you have status, your material status, and we end up living our lives mostly based on those things. And then religion.
Basically, just like the we put ourselves in the caste system.
Absolutely. So, you know, and then religion then, or some sort of concept of spiritual belief is then a given, besides the people who decide that, wait a second, you know, I'm going to be an atheist. I don't really get this.
Right.
That's very few. Even then, they have some sort of program that they're operating by. But in the general, in the overall picture, those are the general things by which we operate. So you pick, you get to choose some sort of spiritual belief, or some sort of, religion then that will package something for you.
So
then you get a packaging.
But that's a choice.
It's all, either way, yes, it is all choice.
And is but, that, a, is that, and that's, it could be both unconscious and a conscious choice.
It's both. It's both happening at the same time.
Okay, and this is where I want to get into, because there's, in your book, you talk about the three levels of mind. Can you explain your three levels of mind for our audience? So, because they, you know, if they haven't read, of course.
Well, what are the three levels of mind? I haven't read my book in a while either.
Well, anyway, you got into aspects where there's the level of the mind in the this part, or the physical that we perceive, and then you got into a secondary in between, and then the third is where it connects into, I assume, the way you put it, is your spiritual connection of your mind, which I've heard before from other quantum physicists who did the same thing, and then
right.
they say that then the mind is almost like a the mechanics, if you want to call it, like the machine, sort of between the machines.
Right.
And
well,
then behind that is the observer,
mm-hmm.
and they were the term they imply of the observer is actually the soul or the spirit, which is behind even the mind.
Well, yeah, and I think what where this gets really interesting, and I always say very trippy, and when I use the word trippy, I'm always literally meaning a trip. I'm always, people are always laughing when I say, well, we're all actually on a psychedelic trip, because the brain, all of this is happening based on hormones and chemicals that the brain is producing anyway. So, you know, so that's a whole other story. But anyway, so we're really on a trip. But at the same time,
you're going to bring me back to the 70s now, okay? And I don't want to talk about my past.
Well, this is the natural trip that everybody ends up on.
Otherwise, I'll be playing Grateful Dead in the beginning of my show.
but you know, there are different levels of mind, and I think that we're used to looking at the mind as, on the minuscule aspect of the mind then. And if we skip that, we can say three levels of mind, but yes, in the bigger picture, there's what you call the greater mind, which really would be the overall, consciousness then, or what we could even probably term the void, because it's the zero point then. At that point, it's the nothingness. That is still, that is the great mind. The nothingness is, for lack of a better term, because now we're having to play with words. We're having to try to define something that is so undefinable into words. And so that's why the word mind, it's viewed in such a limited manner. But when I talk about the greater aspect then of mind, I am talking about that zero point, that nothingness point where everything really is that nothingness. So
it's funny that you use that, because actually the nothingness is very like Taoist and Kabbalah, and also in Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
And in Taoism, the Tao is beyond the nothingness.
Right.
And then in Kabbalah, it's beyond the infinite, which is the nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond the it's space, which is interesting you say, because if people realize the world is space, basically we are space. Even what you
mm-hmm.
think is physiologically
absolutely.
Space,
mm-hmm.
Within atoms themselves, within
right.
the space, there's actually it's mainly 99.9% space.
Right.
So mm-hmm. and we're all the same space, which is
mm-hmm.
really weird. And
we're all the same. Absolutely, it's just. different, it's just the way this trippy game is played out on, just on the bigger picture of it. It's in one way, yes, the illusion of separatism, of being fragmented. But at the same time, there's ultimately just a one force. So with that became my conclusion then as to why we all have to know everything, because everything is everything.
Do you think it's more like there's a term they use, and I don't want to get back into things of religious origin, but in Kabbalism, in the Zohar, they refer to, in fact, Mitzrayim, Egypt, which means confined. Actually, literally means what somebody is like enslaved. Like they're the first, when they're free, then it's going beyond certain things. It's not just being freedom to, you know, from somebody making you to work like a slave, but also free in your own mind to choose and think how you want and make your own choices. But the problem with people, when the soul embraces slavery, which is like the opposite, which I like about how you put sovereign mind, which is definitely on the nose, is when somebody becomes slave, they're slaving themselves into a concept to make it feel more secure. Usually people who want to, in fact, most of our society, when they want to, because of the fear, the illusion of fear, they run back to that need, that security blanket of slavery, to slave themselves within what they, to put things in order, because if they knew and saw outside, they're so afraid of it, the infinite space, they can't do, oh my God, this is just so complex.
Right.
I'd rather run back to something I do know, that I think that's there, that I've been always told what is, instead of opening up and going, hey, this is in, because
with
they're
security.
Huh?
It's security.
Yeah, it's that. It's the security blanket, and it's an illusionary security blanket that would basically, according within your book, lays out the utilizing manipulating factors of fear and also of guilt to make you confined into your space to think, be programmed to have your soul, and so there's a tug of war going on between your. And I guess this is where, I know you forgot the level of the mind, the tug of war between your soul here and your real soul there, which is connected to your oversoul, and there's like a tug of war going on that just goes back and forth, and but I think personally that things are changing because there's things of out of the tug of war. I believe there's a tug of war of light and dark energies, but which I'm going to get later. I want to ask you later, but I think people today in our own societies, I mean, I see people who are opening up and connecting themselves, but I still see a lot of people still, you know, embracing being the confinement, you know, the 9-to-5 thing. And here's the fear factor of losing your job, the economy. It's a way of establishing, keeping you confined. And then
these are things that you're talking about where we could spend hours on each one. I mean, just even what you just said about the fear factor, fear process right now, because that's very huge. And unfortunately, yes, we wouldn't have enough time to really, right, yeah, on the show to even really go into what is going on. But yes, people are really, there's a lot of people getting caught up and drawn into what the media is portraying in terms of the economy. And we'd have to touch on, you know, the science of all of that. But I think more than anything else, I feel that this time, we're in a time where you as an individual have an opportunity, you've always had the opportunity, but because of some specific changes occurring right now, you have the opportunity to step it up a notch and begin to move into a space of taking responsibility for yourself spiritually, because it's the only way that one can find a level of freedom that one is seeking, and where security of the material world will go out the door, because, you know, that level of understanding, consciousness, that level of consciousness or awareness supersedes the physical world. Now, I think the fear is, you know, somebody listening to that, but yeah, that sounds good, but I've got to pay my, you know, my mortgage, I might lose my house. You have to be willing, honestly, if you really, really want to get this and really want to begin to move into your own power and your own freedom and harnessing who you are and owning who you are, you have to come into a space where you walk that plank. And when you move into that space, yes, it is a knowing, but you have to have anchored a certain level of understanding to move into that space and to be willing to let go if that what were to happen. Because I guarantee you, if that were to happen and you are in that space and you were to move into a space where you had to let go of your home, I guarantee you there is something greater that will happen for you. But if we are not able to operate from that perspective, all that we're going to be able to see is a fear of what is going to happen to me. And that is the trickery of it, which is the reason why people hang on to security. Because it's things that are tangible, things that they can sink their teeth into, or something that somebody else has packaged for them, once again, like religion, that they can believe in because someone says, this is so, I need something to hang on to. But if I let that go, that means I'm going to have to do what? I'm going to have to own myself. I'm going to have to really be responsible for myself. I'm going to have to recognize that the responsibility has always lied with me. Even in surrendering my will, I've done that. You know, it's all been by choice. But now I'm waking up to what kind of choices am I going to make? And it's important to be able to do that. One of the biggest reasons, of course, is everything we're doing now, in this moment, is determining 5 years from now, tomorrow, you know, trillions of years from now, what happens. So every choice is taking you on a ride. Every choice is taking you on a ride. And, you know, you mentioned, earlier about the observer. Absolutely. This whole thing exists based on our perception. All of reality is based on our perception, based on, you know, the construct within the brain, a library of acceptabilities, you know, that's programmed into our brain. And we, you know, from that, reality is constructed. And we have a reality that we all agree on and that we all see. And then there are things that we don't all see because our perceptions are still at different levels. I mean, I can go on and on into all of that, but perception is key. That is an extremely important thing to understand. Yes, and that's why quantum physics says that you affect everything by observation.
Right.
Nothing
I've seen studies where they had scientists, and they all had their own hypothesis, and then they did their own experiment, which led to their hypothesis, and each one had different hypotheses.
Mm-hmm.
So their own perception, and not just own perception, they've actually shown...
They're affecting the field. They're affecting
actually created out of their own thought patterns to create and manifest the findings in their own experiment. So in a way, if you want to call it unconsciously, manipulated their own experiment.
Absolutely. That's the whole trick of it, is that, yes, you cannot observe something without affecting it. I mean, and that's what quantum physics is saying, and that is very true, because your observation is going to be based on some sort of prejudgment. Anyway.
But that also goes back to what you were saying before, and I was going to get into, was the trust factor, was people looking at the physical problem, like economics of today or whether it's your personal situation, and walking the plank, as you put it, because I've been there many times.
Right,
and
I've been there, too.
Huh?
I've been there, too. I know what it's like to go into foreclosure and lose your house.
Oh, well, I went from way up in the mountain, and one day went totally under, which is a whole long story. But,
if you live. Ultimately,
yeah, but it was like, you know what, I remember standing in front of a tax judge and told, man, you can do whatever you want, throw me in jail, do whatever, But one thing you're not going to take from me is my soul.
Absolutely.
And after that was really weird in the hearing. He right away gave me, boom, okay, he's free. You know, I mean, he removed
I love
my
it,
obligation.
Though.
But
I
he,
love it. Very
they,
powerful, Andy. Very powerful. That's extremely significant because what.
But
said,
I felt like Henry David Thoreau.
Yeah. No, it relates to everything. What you just said, it's that defining moment. But you have to be able to step out on that plank. I don't suggest anybody do it unless you are willing. You must be willing to deal with any sort of consequences. And when I say that, you must be for example, real quickly, my example was when I decided to leave, you know, corporate America. You know, finally, I left a couple times, and when I decided to leave corporate America, I remember having to really make that decision, and I said, you know what, I got to get out of here, because it was really choking me. And I said, what's the worst thing that could happen? And my kids were older then, even though I had done this before as well. And I said, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, you could end up living in your car. And I thought, you know what? No matter what, I will live. But there is nothing that is worth me being this miserable for. I looked at I liked my condo. I liked all these things that I had. But I said, but you're so miserable. You're dying pretty much every time you have to get in the car and drive to this place. And with that, I had to be willing to let go and surrender to a greater aspect of myself. And I said, if that's what happens, then that'll happen, but I will live. And because I surrendered and let go and was willing to just, you know, walk that plank, none of that happened. I quit my job and things just changed. Things happened.
But then
me.
You change your thought patterns and
Absolutely.
Change your belief systems, therefore create a new reality.
A whole new reality begin. And sometimes
yeah, it's
it
like,
takes time.
Yeah, like people ask me how... I go, how do you do things? And he says, well, worry about money. I says, I don't even think about it. I think I always look at it how the universe is always going to take care of my little ass, okay? That's
mm-hmm.
how I look at it. Whatever
mm-hmm.
happens, I'm always taken care of. Like, I'll think of something, and then after a while, boom, all of a sudden I'll have it. Even a phone call, I'll think of somebody, and then within a couple hours, they'll call me. And people do not need to validate their own individual power. I don't
mm-hmm.
call it power like I'm almighty power, but
okay.
their own thoughts that they own create, which they create within their own reality of
right.
things, which
Absolutely.
Is their own validation as the individual, which hence is, like, I love what you have, sovereign mind, you know, establishing your freedom, which actually puts a lot of threatening issues with a lot of people who are, I would say, walking toward the dark side of manipulation and fear utilizations for their own personal or gain on, you know, whatnot. But I want to get into another thing because I know I only got 15 minutes. I'm trying to hit so many things at once, and I'm skipping around, but I felt more important things. How do you, in your book, I know it didn't really delve into, and I don't want to get into the Merkava. By the way, it's not Merkava, it's Merkava in Hebrew.
Yeah.
It's a big difference. I want to get into what you talk about, how what souls are and the reincarnation
mm.
process, past lives, this lives, future lives, and the relationship to the soul and to the universe, but besides that, I know I'm going to jump off another tangent here, and how you feel about I know there's understanding now the electromagnetic fields are hitting really hard on our this Earth and all its inhabitants, which is affecting our DNA, our thoughts, our energy formation, and some people say it's culminating on 2012 with an alignment and all that. I know I'm hitting all three different things. How would you feel about all the, first getting into the, what is the soul and in regards to reincarnation, past lives, and future lives, and etc.
Oh, my Lord. And we're answering that in this show? Oh, geez.
I forgot. Please be brief.
That's why I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, so you want me to answer this now, or... next week.
That's why I said you had two. And there's so much. I'm trying to get everything in there. I mean,
well, let's see. I referred to the soul as what do I refer to the soul as? It's very different because I know everybody talks about the soul, you know, from a different standpoint, but I look at it as like almost like a day planner, which I think if you remember reading that, where you are given, not that you're given, but it's put together, you know, you put together, a process or an idea of, what your travels, what your journeys are going to be about. And when we get here, we are only harnessing a minuscule aspect of what the soul really is. And that's the only way that it could be done. I mean, sort of like, you know, it's consciousness. It's like you can only have a minuscule aspect of who you are here in this reality because of the fact that you are in a physical body. So it's sort of like, yes, a giant day planner per se, and you have a small aspect of it, and it's orchestrating what your journeys are going to be, because there is a record keeping of what your travels have been, whether it be, you know, here in this reality that we call Earth, but it's keeping track of that information. And with that, your process then for your journey here is in this life is going to be based on those things that were already, you know, recorded, that it has record of, and therefore needs to either balance things out or work certain things out or whatever the process is. It's connecting the dots with everything else then that is held in that record.
So like somebody once said to me that our only luggage that we take with us are our experiences, and those are basically embedded into our souls,
yeah,
and taking
absolutely
with us from lifetime to lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come back into each lifetime, some of those are elaborated, some less so, and it's the experience to rediscover those.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's all tied into the reincarnation process, and that's why I'm saying it's so difficult, because there's
right
a lot to cover with that, because we have to understand why we keep coming back on this wheel. And for some people do believe that, you know, it's just, you just keep coming back, and of course I say no, you don't just keep coming back, you keep having the sense then that you are returning again and again to a particular timeline or a particular vibration of experience. But it's only because you are still balancing things out or working out a process, in terms of that level of experience. So you're still working that out, so you keep returning. But the overall objective then, is, again, and I call it a giant cosmic game, the overall objective is to become more expansive, and the only way to do that is we begin to accumulate less debt, because it's the accumulation of debts that's causing us to keep coming back here. As we minimize the creation of debts, and debts are, of course, things that are, you know, you're having to balance out, and I'm not going to use the term good or bad, but it's simply whatever that experience has been for you that needs balance to it, it's having to. It's just the way creation operates. You know, if nothing got balanced, everything would be lopsided, and I don't know that anything would exist. So somehow it has to be balanced out. So with that, the reincarnation wheel is tied into that whole concept. Now, at some point, as we evolve in our awareness, we begin to create less debt, because we begin to understand so much more that we're not doing anything that's going to infringe or affect or harm anyone else, at least not intentionally. You're coming from a different space, and that's a gradual process. So you're changing, and the more we we graduate or evolve in that level, our consciousness then is expanding, or we're capturing a greater and greater levels of that consciousness, just like the soul. You're capturing greater and greater levels of it, and the vibration of that is a more heightened level. Because, you know, down, we're vibrating at a much lower rate of speed here.
And speaking of that, the vibrational thing, not to change the tangent, though, here, into a cosine or sine, let's say. What I also wanted to know is the vibrational effect that I understand our electromagnetic system has been changing with the alignment of our planets. Also, mm-hmm. our sun is expanding, which is real... one of the major causes of global warming, not just man-made, with like 90% because of the electromagnetic fields and energies being generated from our sun, because all our solar system actually is actually warming up. But also how that's affecting, I know our DNA is expanding and changing, energy levels are changing, and I, in my own view, in my own perspective,
mm-hmm.
I feel that it's also affecting a new tug of war, which is now pulling things to people, which people call the ascension, which I also say in past shows, that are people becoming either more aware, but at the same token, there are people who become more frightened.
Right.
How do you feel in a scientific / spiritual side, which is the theme of your book, how does that relate to now with 2012, sightings of ETs, ascension, people, I guess if you want to call it universal consciousness opening up, and then there's on the other side, strife and extremes of violence and, you know, of, you know, my God is better than your God, still crap.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's still, you know, in creation, out of, you know, chaos comes order. We still can't avoid that. I mean, that's also part of it. Out of chaos does come some sort of order. So everything does get stirred up in order to create some sort of change. And regardless of what it is, even in your own personal life, things fall apart, you know, in order for them to be restructured into something more expansive, if you allow it. But yes, I mean, 2012, yes, we are in that time of, you know, at the completion, as you know, of the great cycle. And the thing is this, we tend to put all of these things in this fluffy fantasy place, but scientifically, it's just a natural process and order of, you know, how the cosmos operates. And everything goes through cycles, the solar system, you know, each galaxy, everything is going through that a process. So we are completing, our 104,000-year cycle, which, you know, they're broken up into four cycles. I believe 26,000 years, somewhere around there. But they're broken up into cycles. So we're going through that process right now. And at the end of these various cycles, because there's always cycles going on, but at the end of this greater cycle, yes, there is a transition, a graduation process then that occurs of all planets, universes at some given point in time. We are in that graduation process in terms of the planet, so therefore life, all life within this planet and any other planet, planetoid that's going through that kind of process will change and must change in conjunction with that transition. And what doesn't change should sometimes just end up not being here. Now, that is just science, because it's as if, say, for example, the planet we no longer use oxygen to breathe here. Whatever beings become at that point, they would become adaptable however the gaseous laws of that planet would then operate. Well, it's the same concept. So is global warming, I mean, is it getting hotter? Is it, you know, is it speeding up? As it's happened before, when the planet has gone through a shift, whatever life was here has gradually adapted to that transition. Some of it is caused by human beings, and some of it, obviously, is just a natural progression. The planet 50 million years ago was 70, you know, the temperatures are in the 70s. at the time. There was no, you know, four seasons didn't exist at one point until the tilting of the Earth's axis, which is then what brings in these cycles, as a matter of fact, because the tilting of the Earth's axis does have everything to do with the what they call the precession, which is, you know, the planet that's moving from, you know, one side to the other, bringing in those cycles, the 12,500 years, and then, you know, splitting it off into this and this and that, until you get this 104,000-year cycle. So these are just natural processes that are occurring. And yes, it does usher in the opportunity for human beings to shift as far as their consciousness is concerned. But then there's a lot tied in with that too, again, Andy, because we're in a giant game, and most people don't realize that life is a game, and you always have two opposing sides. You have two sides, whether we want to see it like that or not, and you have a side that doesn't necessarily want human beings, and I'm talking just human beings here as well, to move into a certain level of awareness. And there's lots tied to that, which obviously we wouldn't have time to talk about today.
Right.
So we can get very distracted, sidetracked, so we think we're going one way, but we're really being ushered into the same old, but it just it has a different look to it. So there's a lot going on here, so that's why it's so important for people to get in touch with themselves and allow that guiding process and not be so dependent on what we call the third dimensional, I mean, third party.
Right.
Forces.
Not be dictated to it.
No, lots of deception. Lots of deception, because that's the game. It's
yeah.
not something to hate, but to realize that life is a game, and it would have to be a game in order for it to unfold.
Sort of like what you had mentioned, that I agree with you. You put in your book about there, are, and I hate to say this, because it might fringe people here on other shows or whatever, but some seekers or light workers are really can be deceivers, or as I would say, pretenders.
Right.
And so they're just becoming, and they're just like, they're, oh, I'm going to, you know, make money, market it, manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have to hear me and I'll tell you your reading or tell you what you need
well,
to do.
Well, people get dependent on them. And that's
right.
the thing that I'm really
right.
big on, is people moving away from the guruism and,
get away
and really coming into their own.
And
yes.
make their own. That's why I like, I try to present, even on my show, I throw out my stuff, but then I tell people, go look at it up and make your own decision.
Absolutely, make it. And the thing is this, is, Andy, for the people that do manipulate, and that some people don't even understand that, when you get other people to attach to you and you make it seem like you're the only way, you limit your own expansion as well. Not only do you affect that other individual, but you also limit your own growth.
Well, Sonny, I know we're coming to a head right now. That time flies, because there's so much. Like I said, I could do like four shows just on all the subjects. But I want you, if you can tell our audience, listeners here, how they can get in touch with you or your book or any information you want to lay
okay.
out.
Yes, my website, first of all, is, I have three websites I'll just give to you. First website, the mother of all my website, is www.spiritinform.com. Spiritinform.com. It has tons of information on there. And the radio show's website is www.sovereignmindradio.com. If for anybody who is in Los Angeles or surrounding areas, I will be doing what I call a memory lecture, January 17th. It's a Saturday, and it's all day. That information is available on the website, so you can go there to see it. My phone number is 949-249-3825, and the magazine's website is www.newcorporatebody.com. And the book is available on Spirit and Form and Amazon Books. It's called The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter.
Great. And, Sonia, I want to thank you for coming on my show. Again, that's Sonia Barrett. Get her book, The Holographic Canvas, Fusing of Mind and Matter. And with that, I wish everyone a great day and a blissful weekend. Thank you, and God bless you all.